This is the 640 Sports Heat Beat, brought to you by Napleton Hyundai of the Palm Beaches, Northlake Boulevard in North Palm, and Okeechobee Boulevard in West Palm. Napleton Hyundai, where everybody wins.
Here comes James again.
Wait, he hit a home run.
Back inside, hammers it home.
Now, talking all things Miami Heat, Armando Salguero and Chris Perkins on 640 Sports.
And it's not just Armando Salguero and Chris Perkins. As always, we bring in our own NBA insider, Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com, to Napleton Hyundai's Heat Beat. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Armando. I'm still waiting on that Hyundai. They haven't delivered it yet.
It's going to be coming, dude. You just wait, Chris. It's coming. We promise.
It's in the mail.
You got it up yourself, Perks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm driving up there myself.
Hyundai's in the mail, Chris. It's in the mail.
That's right. We put postage on it. Hey, Chris, the Heat, you know, the two questions coming into the season were point guard and center.
Also, parlez-vous français.
Exactly.
Oui.
Yes. And so they've signed Ronnie Turioff, the Frenchman, at center. I think it's marginal move, insignificant. What do you think about it?
I don't know about insignificant, but marginal, I would agree with you, Chris. You know, Ronnie's a guy that bangs. He's a tremendous banger, and it impacts him, and the guy's always hurt. He's always hurt, and he's got a broken hand now that he's recovering from, but, you know, he's a guy that can give you 16 minutes of really intense basketball. He's an intense player. He's a skilled player, and he is physical, and he's not afraid to mix it up, so... He definitely adds something that the Heat have been missing. And look, Eddie Curry obviously isn't going to be the answer. Joel Anthony just went down with a sprained ankle, and then you got Dexter Pittman, and you have nothing else. So Ronnie adds a guy who's going to be able to defend, whether it's Dwight Howard, whether it's Joakim Noah. He's going to be able to defend him and defend him capably. And he's not a bad pickup, but he's not going to be a difference maker for the Heat. He does fill a void, though.
Chris, you mentioned Eddie Curry, and does this move not signal that Eddie Curry is on the outs? And if it does, it's basically, is it the end for him? Because, I mean, the Miami Heat have been nurturing him for nearly a year now, asking him to lose weight, get in shape, get on the court, and finally he lost weight, but he can't get on the court and do anything.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a little bit weird because, like you said, that Armando, they did invest so much time in him, and I thought they would at least make an effort to try to get him into a regular role where he's giving him 12 minutes a night, and they can see what they're going to get or not get out of him. But he's been kind of buried at the end of the bench, and I, you know, they're so much more comfortable with playing UD at center in the fourth quarter that there becomes a minute squeeze. And look, if you're the 12th man on the roster, which is pretty fair to, safe to say that, that Eddie is, and there's a minute squeeze, and your coach is comfortable with a guy who's been a Miami lifer, you're just not going to get in. And I think that's part of the situation that Ronnie Turioff is walking into as well. But certainly the Turioff signing signals that Eddie Curry is even further down the bench. And I think the fact that Miami wanted to get their hands on Derek Fisher as well shows that Eddie Curry could be expendable. They could waive him.
We're talking to Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com here on the Napleton Hyundai Heat Beat. And, Chris, when you look at the Heat and what they've done, and I guess since the All-Star break, I still think there are some concerns with late-game offense, late-game half-court offense. I think that's pretty much the only concern with this team. I think the point guard, I would have liked to have seen Derek Fisher come in here, but whatever. Backup center, I think you're good with Bosh and Haslam. But that late-game half-court offense, I think, still remains a concern. What are you concerned with this team, or what do you see as the Heat's main concern or concerns at this point?
Well, I don't know if it's a concern, but I've noticed a transition that they seem to be putting the ball in Dwayne Wade's hands more at the end of tight games. And look, let's face it, they haven't had that many tight games, but just watching them when they are in the close games, Dwayne Wade seems to be handling the ball more than he was over the first half of the season. And, you know, the way the offense ran through LeBron when he dominated the ball late in the fourth quarter close games, it wasn't getting the job done. It was
It was the Cleveland offense, the isolation. Let LeBron dribble and let LeBron try to create. And he was damned if he didn't, damned if he didn't, in terms of passing or shooting. But as we've been saying on the show before, I've always thought that Eric Spoelstra and the whole Miami Heat organization is much more comfortable having the ball in Dwayne Wade's hands at the end of games because, A, they're used to it for 7-8 years now, and B, he's a better creator. And I wouldn't say he's a better finisher at the bucket, but he's a damn good finisher at the bucket. He's not as athletic as LeBron, but he also draws more defenders in and is a better passer when he is a drive and kick guy. So I've noticed a switch over to putting the ball in Dwayne's hands, and I want to see, you know, how that's going to play itself out when they do start to play more close games, especially in the playoffs, because, again, it's a fundamental problem that they have, but it's a problem a lot of teams would like to have. They have two guys who need the ball in their hands, and they have one ball. So it's something that's going to bear watching, you know, not only this year but next year as well.
Chris, last year Derek Fisher took a visit with the Miami Heat and decided to go back to the Lakers. Now he is a free agent again, and he had the Heat and the Oklahoma City Thunder juggling act, one or the other. Why did he pick the Thunder?
Maybe to beat the Lakers. there might have been some bitterness there over getting traded. You know, he was kind of a Laker lifer. He had been starting every game for them for the past 4 years. And look, the Lakers may very well run into Oklahoma City Thunder in the second round of the playoffs, depending where the Lakers finish, whether they're at 3 or 4, and whether Oklahoma City can hang on to the one spot. But you know, Derek's been around the league long enough that he's not just chasing a title, which he is, because he wants to win another one, but he wants to win it with some aplomb, and he wants to do it against the team that just traded him away. And that's got to be the driving motivation, because let's face it, if you were faced with spending the next 2 months in Miami or in Oklahoma City, what are you going to choose for lifestyle? You know, come on. It's a no-brainer. I love Oklahoma City, but it's not Miami.
Let me think about that one for a little bit.
Hey, Chris.
So, you know, Derek came in last night and logged some minutes for the Thunder and hit a nice wide-open three-point shot from the corner. And, look, they're still 3.5 games up on the Spurs. And I think more importantly, though, they now have a veteran guy in the locker room that they didn't have before. That I guess, you know, they had Nazi Muhammad, and they still have Nazi Muhammad. And Nazi's a smart guy, and he's got a lot of leadership qualities, but he hasn't won. And Derek Fisher has won. And you do need a guy in a locker room to speak to you when one of the players needs to speak up, who's going to carry some weight. His words will carry some weight. And when the Thunder are sitting there at halftime of a Game 7 in the playoffs, and someone needs to speak up, and someone needs to either calm Russell Westbrook or pull Kevin Durant aside and say, look, you know, you're hitting, everything you're hitting from 18 to 20 is going in, so make that your shot in the second half. Derek's the wise old vet who can do that. And then he's also, I know he's got one or two more daggers left in his arsenal. He's just like Robert Horry. He doesn't run out, so I'd love to see it the Thunder go up against the Lakers in the playoffs. I think that would be a tremendous subplot. But no matter who the Thunder face in the playoffs, Derek Fisher is going to be a help to them in the locker room and probably just as much as he is on the court.
We're talking to Chris Sheridan of SheridanHoops.com here on the Napleton Hyundai Inside the Heat Report. And Chris, you know, constantly from Heat fans, I get on the text here when I'm doing the talks on FoxSports.com, when I'm writing for SheridanHoops.com, that trade Chris Bosh. You know, if this thing doesn't work, you've got to break up the big three and it'll be a disaster. Let me tell you this, and let me see what you think about it. If the big three does not win the title this season, you've got to, before you break that team up, you've got to call Phil Jackson, right? You've got to call Phil Jackson and ask him if he wants to take it over before you break up the big three. And then after that, you maybe even call Jerry Sloan, right? And then you would break up the big three. What do you think about that? Because there's a lot of Phil Jackson talk about, you know, going to the Knicks or going to whatever. But if they don't win the title this year, right, Pat Riley has got to call Phil before he breaks up the big three, I would think.
I think so, but he might be second on line behind the New York Knicks. Unless Mike Woodson keeps winning every single game he coaches, he's won five in a row since taking Mike D'Antoni's job. He may earn himself a long-term contract, but I think everyone in New York expects the Knicks to make a hard play for Phil Jackson.
But if you're Phil, wouldn't you want the big three?
Yes. Phil always wants to go where there's more talent.
Yeah.
But would Mickey want to pay Phil Jackson $15 million a year? Jim Dolan will pay him $15 million a year, and that's a lot of money. Maybe Mickey's got to give him one of the boats. To get him down there.
Would Pat Riley subjugate his own ego to have Phil Jackson win with his team?
Yeah, I think Pat is perfectly happy with Eric Spoelstra, and I think he's satisfied with where the team is at. Look, they're 34-11, and they've had some stretches where they've been absolutely dominant, and they've got the guy who looks like the MVP, and it's starting to look like he's going to be the runaway MVP in LeBron James. And I think we're being premature in saying if they fail, what do they do? They haven't failed yet, and they're a damn good team. They're still going to be an Eastern Conference Finals team, so we're getting way, way ahead of ourselves. However, we can do that. And if the Heat do flame out, I think the availability of Dwight Howard is going to be one thing that'll impact the Heat's thinking, because if Orlando flames out in the playoffs, look, Dwight's going to want out of there, and he's going to get one out in a trade. And if you can turn Chris Bosh and something into Dwight Howard, then you go back to playing UD as your four and Dwight Howard as your five, and that's a much better team than what you got there already. So I think if they're going to move Bosh, the first place they're going to look is Orlando. And then as far as the coaching goes, if Eric Spoelstra is to blame for them going down in the playoffs, if they go down in the playoffs, then he'll be at risk. But I don't see him in any way as an at-risk coach. I think that's a very loyal organization. Pat Riley's always been very loyal to the guys tight with him, and Eric's been with the team since he was a kid. And I don't think they're going to give up on Eric unless the stars turn on, or unless Eric's coaching in the playoffs is so faulty that he deserves to be let go.
He's Chris Sheridan. He joins us every Thursday because he's our NBA insider and also the purveyor. Like that word, Sheridan? The purveyor of SheridanHoops.com.
I like that. No one's called me that yet, so this is another first.
Thank you, purveyor. Thank you, old grand purveyor, Poobah Sherpa of all things NBA.
Appreciate that, Armando. You guys have a good morning.
All right, Chris, thanks.